Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 14th day of June 2022. We've got two returning guests for our program today. During the first hour, we have Nate Pickowitz returning to the program. He is pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gillington Ironworks, New Hampshire, and author of a number of books, including Reviving New England and Why We're Protestant. He's going to be addressing his latest book today called R.C. Sproul, Defender of the Reformed Faith. So I'm really looking forward to that discussion. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by a mutual friend of both Pastor Nate's and mine, Mac Tomlinson, pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and author of a number of books, including In Light of Eternity, The Life of Leonard Ravenhill. He's going to be addressing the theme, Mature Manhood Being Useful for the Master, and that will be an exposition of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. But first of all, to discuss R.C. Sproul, Defender of the Reformed Faith, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Nate Pickowitz.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you.
Well, why don't you refresh our memories or inform for the first time our listeners who have not heard you before something about Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire.
Sure. So Harvest Bible Church is a church plant that we launched in 2013. It's in a pretty rural town in New Hampshire. And for those of you who might not know, New England is largely an unreached people group in the Northeast, and so just working hard to bring the gospel to this region, as well as a lot of other church plants as well. And so we're coming up on 10 years, and we're pretty excited about that. So the Lord's been very kind.
Yeah, and it's always so sad when I am reminded about New England being an unreached people group or a theologically barren area of the United States, when at one time it was the very hub of Puritanism and Reformed theology.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was talking to a friend earlier about this today, that, you know, it is depressing to think about what we had here at one point. Jonathan Edwards and the tours of George Whitfield and Adoniram Judson, and I mean, so much happening. But on the bright side, I think that, you know, there's so much ministry to do. The harvest is so plentiful. The laborers are few, but it is a good ministry to have. So I'm very thankful to be here, and it is a great joy to serve the Lord here.
Great. Well, if anybody is going to be passing through Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, or perhaps you already live very near that area, I urge you to visit hbc-nh.org. That's the website of our guests at church, I hope that you pay a visit to that church. And if you do not have a church home that is biblically sound and you live in that area, or you know someone in that circumstance, I hope that either you or they not only visit but join Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and that's hbc-nh.org. Well, you have written only the second biography that I'm aware of. There may be more, but the second biography of the late R.C. Sproul, one of my greatest heroes of the 20th and 21st century, and a man whom I had the honor and privilege to interview on this program, and the honor and privilege to receive from him a glowing commendation for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It still blows my mind when I think about it. What was it that compelled you to say, you know something, I've got to get my own biography of R.C. Sproul in print?
Yeah, it's a great question. It actually wasn't my idea at all. I had not initially set out to do this. You know, a figure like R.C. or others, you know, they're daunting, I think, especially when you revere them so highly. But the publisher had reached out to me and asked me. I'd done some work for them before. They asked if I would consider, you know, writing a biography. And I was planning on taking a writing break. And I said, well, what would you like it to be on? And they said, R.C. Sproul. So I went to my wife and I said, honey, they want me to write a book on R.C. Sproul. What do you think? And she said, well, you have to do that. So I very joyfully accepted the offer to do that, and was just really blessed to be able to work through that project. And I already loved R.C. just as a believer. He was an incredible encouragement to me. But then as a researcher, to go and learn more about his life and read all of his works was just a tremendous joy. So thankful it came to my doorstep.
Yes, a very remarkable and extraordinary and unusual man. And one of the reasons I say he was unusual is that there are theologians and scholars who predominantly, if not exclusively, appeal to the academic realm. And there are those that predominantly, if not exclusively, appeal to what has been nicknamed layman, the ordinary Christian. But R.C. Sproul had a unique gift of being able to intrigue and grab the attention of both of those seemingly opposite wings of Christianity. And he was able to stretch the minds of those that might not quite understand where he is initially coming from when preaching, teaching, giving a lecture, but then eventually he breaks those things down, those hard-to-understand words and concepts, always broke them down for the average reader or listener. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, one thing that R.C. was known for and was well-versed in was the clear communication of truth. R.C. very easily could have had a career in the academy, and at the beginning of his career, he was in the academy. He worked at Gordon Conwell and his alma mater as well, but really very quickly realized that he liked ministering to people in the pew. He really enjoyed people. You know, he loved being around them. He loved teaching them, and you know, he's credited really for popularizing the Reformed faith, at least in our generation. So really had the acumen for academics, but really had a passion to make sure that people, everybody anywhere, even down to children, could understand Reformed truth. And so that was a great desire of his.
Oh, yeah, he even wrote several children's books.
That's right. That's right.
And one of the other things that is very memorable about him is that for some reason he was able to gain the love and admiration and friendship of people who were in many ways theologically opposed to some of his core beliefs as a Reformed and covenantal Christian, and yet maintained very long-time friendships, not only friendships, but co-labored in evangelism with men like Dr. John MacArthur, who is a world-renowned dispensationalist preacher and teacher and author, and others that were not quite exactly in the circle of a theological framework that he Dr. Sproul made himself most well known, but he was able to lay those issues aside, at least while co-laboring with somebody like a John MacArthur, without diminishing or compromising. He just had a unique gift in that way and seemed to attract people from a broad spectrum of theological viewpoint within Christendom.
Yeah, R.C. was really, he was pretty gracious with people, and I think that was one of the things, and it's a theme I stress in the book too, is, you know, he was articulate when it came to truth. I mean, he wanted to make sure that the truth was very clear, but he also understood, you know, what was core doctrine, what is non-negotiable for the faith, and so even during some of his doctrinal battles, he knew what the core issues were, and he fought vigorously for them. But then he also knew that there were other issues that were relatively secondary, that we were still brothers in Christ, but just disagreed on more minor points. And so those were some of the friendships that he had with some of those folks. But the other thing about him is that he won people over because of his kindness. And he was kind, he was gracious. He's not a perfect man, but he really tried to be gentle and kind to people and smile. I mean, you know, heaven forbid a Calvinist smile, you know, but he wanted to win people to the truth, and he wanted to be lockstep with brothers, with men who could defend the truth with him. And that's why he loved people like John MacArthur and James Boyce, because they were fierce for the truth with him. And he had a good, loving relationship with those men.
Well, tell us some of the highlights of your biography of Dr. Sproul. Where do you start in his life? And what are some of the primary landmarks throughout his ministry that you draw our attention to?
Yeah, so the decision I made early on with the book, I knew it was going to be a short book. I was asked to write something that was only going to be maybe 150 pages. It was not going to be a large volume like Dr. Nichols' book on RC. And so I had to be selective with where I went. And what I began to notice when I was researching was that all the major doctrinal battles that he fought really could be sort of framed within the five solas of the Reformation. You know, during the 70s, he was contending for inerrancy and the authority of the Bible. That was sola scriptura, you know, and then he begins to write about Chosen by God, that famous book, Chosen by God, and the doctrine of God, contending for sola gratia. He's fighting in the Evangelicals and Catholics Together battle, which is quite literally a battle over sola fide. He plants St. Andrew's Church with a team of people and really begins to contend for what is the sound biblical truth of church, and as opposed to the Roman Catholic Church, really contended for Christ alone. And then really the last decade of his life, he begins to do all things, writing music and opening schools and writing children's books, and everything he touched, he wanted to make sure he did it for the glory of God. So the framework of the book that I write is really tied to that, more focused on his major doctrinal battles and his major points than really more of the biographical details. I want people to read this and be encouraged, instructed, and have someone as a model to follow after. We are supposed to imitate the faith of those who imitate Christ, and so that's what I believe Dr. Sproul does.
We have a Christian in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who has a question. Christian asks, can you tell us how profoundly the teaching and preaching and writing of Dr. Sproul affected your own life as not only a Christian but as a pastor?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I had been reading and following and listening to R.C. for probably about 12 years. But it wasn't really until he passed that I actually began to think about all the things that I had learned, not just from Dr. Sproul, but also just from Ligonier, the ministry that he began and the ministry that has been carried on. And I just began to take stock in the fact that I'd learned so much. Every time I'd have a theological question, I would find myself just grabbing my phone and clicking on Ligonier and typing in a question and asking a question. And I always found that whatever answer I got, with the exception of baptism in my case, but every answer I got was sound, was faithful, was biblically true, and I could trust that minister, I could trust his teaching. So he really became a source of truth for me. He was able to communicate truth in a way that I could understand, in a way that I could turn around and communicate to the church people that I had. So I found that not only him as a teacher, as a shepherd, but even as a pastor, he's been very helpful to me to model how to communicate truth clearly and accurately. That's really and really important. So I owe him a great debt for that. And then add to that, just writing the biography was just a tremendous joy on top of that. So he has blessed my life in multiple ways, more than I could even count.
Now, have you had any opportunities to meet Dr. Sproul while he was still with us face-to-face?
I did not. I've had a chance to get to know some folks who've worked closely with him, but I never had the blessing of meeting him on this side of heaven. So that'll be something I look forward to in the future, 10,000 years from now, whenever I get around to seeing him up there.
Yes, I have very fond memories of meeting him face-to-face. I've been at a number of events where he was speaking, but I had one wonderful providential opportunity to be actually having two conversations with him, not only on my radio program as a guest, but I was at a church, Calvary Baptist Church in Manhattan, where he was speaking at a conference, and I worked part-time at that time for Calvary Press Publishing, and we had brought back into print a small book by Jonathan Edwards, which I believe is an excerpt out of a larger book by Edwards called Heaven, a World of Love. And I knew that Dr. Sproul loved Jonathan Edwards, so I wanted, and Calvary Press wanted me to try to get an endorsement from him. And when I saw that after he finished speaking, when everyone had stood up to sing a hymn, he snuck out the back, and I knew that he was probably going to the bathroom. I chased him down the hallway, and I said, "Dr. Sproul," and he said, "If you want to talk to me, you've got to come in here." So I got into the men's room, and I pitched to him writing the endorsement for Heaven, a World of Love while he was at the urinal. And 2 weeks later, we got it in the mail, the commendation. The other time was actually during that same conference. I had a wonderful time in a fellowship hall having a fun conversation with him, and he split a gut laughing as I was doing a John Gerstner imitation for him, John Gerstner, who was his mentor. But it was interesting how he was laughing so hard, because at that time in his life, Dr. Sproul began to sound very much like John Gerstner.
That's right.
And as far as what made him stand out in the contemporary realm of evangelicalism, what would you say are those things that made him someone very different and unique toward whether it be his writing or his public presence as a preacher and teacher? And I don't mean this to degrade other very gifted men who are preachers, teachers, and theologians, and maybe even writing voluminously, but what would you say makes him stand out and is marked out as someone quite unique in this contemporary age of evangelicalism?
I think one of the things that Dr. Sproul did well and he's remembered for was the fact that no matter what the question was, he made it his personal business to study every possible thing he could. He was constantly learning, and he had a steel trap mind. I mean, he could just recall things. He could, you know, memorize whole passages from books and things he read and could recall them. And, you know, whenever a question came up, he always seemed to be able to weigh in and weigh in a way that was clear, accurate, and even authoritative. You know, whenever R.C. spoke, you know, if you were going to disagree, you had to make sure that you had done your homework before you disagreed, because he was so well studied. So a man who, in the book I have a line that I say that he had a John Calvin mind with a Billy Graham reach. He was able to popularize and reach so many people like a Billy Graham in terms of masses, but yet he was a theological thinker. He understood how truth worked, and he had studied doctrine extensively. He loved the writings of Turretin and just ate that stuff up. So, you know, I think that was the thing, is that we're missing definitiveness. We're missing truth that is declarative. You know, we tend to sort of say things with nuance, and we want to sort of tiptoe around truth, where R.C. didn't care. He just wanted to make sure that it was clear, it was accurate, and the truth was the truth, and you had to deal with that truth. So he despised something he called studied ambiguity, where you would couch or you would sneak in certain ideas and theological concepts through very vague and broad language. And he watched the liberals do it for years. That's where he was reared, in all these liberal schools, and had to fight against that to get out. But he watched them do it for years and degrade doctrinal truth through vague terminology. And we see that in our denominations even today. So I think we're missing someone who just stands fast on truth, speaks plainly, speaks boldly, and with conviction, and makes sure that the doctrine's accurate. And really, nobody did that better than R.C. Sproul.
Amen. And we're going to our first break right now. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. In this case, I can't imagine how it would, unless, of course, if you have grown to love the preaching and teaching of R.C. Sproul, and your pastors or your denomination do not have a heart for Reform theology. Maybe they have an intense dislike for anyone who has promoted these truths, and you don't want to identify yourself. That's really one of the only reasons I can think someone would remain anonymous. But so please, in general, just give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Nate Pickowitz right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and if you just tuned us in, our guest for the first half of the program is Nate Pickowitz. He is author of a new biography on R.C. Sproul titled R.C. Sproul, Defender of the Reformed Faith. If you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We have a very loyal listener, one of our oldest listeners. I don't mean by his age, I mean by length of time he's been listening to this program, I think going all the way back to 2005 when we first launched the program. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers. The one thing that surprised me with Dr. Sproul was that he was a classical apologist and not presuppositional. Was this because of his friendship with Dr. Gerstner? That's interesting. I know that he wrote a book with Dr. Gerstner on classical or evidential apologetics, but I don't think Dr. Sproul would have been so shallow to just have that position because of his friendship with Dr. Gerstner, but if you care to comment.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought a similar thing, because when you read up on his previous position, you know, he was Vantillian. I mean, he had learned presuppositional apologetics, and then he gets into classes with Gerstner, and next thing you know, he's classical apologetics. But, you know, I think that, you know, to your point, I mean, R.C. didn't just flip on a dime because Gerstner said so. I mean, R.C. had to be convinced. You had to motivate and convince him from the scriptures, from reason, from logic. Otherwise, he wouldn't flip the position. So, I mean, he'd studied out all of these things himself and landed there. And when they wrote the book together on apologetics with Art Lindsay, they sent Vantilla a copy, and he was delighted. He was absolutely delighted, and even even though he didn't agree with the position, you know, it was a friendly debate between all of them. And but yeah, RC would not have just jumped simply because Gerstner said so. But obviously, they would have seen things the same way.
Well, thank you, Grady. And we have an anonymous listener. An anonymous listener who says, I have been very concerned, in fact, even disturbed, by some of my closest Christian brothers and sisters and friends who have developed an increasingly soft position on the heresies of Roman Catholicism. I was always very blessed by the fact that Dr. R.C. Sproul held the differences between Protestantism and Catholicism very seriously and strongly, and in fact, so much to the point that he had to publicly rebuke his friend, J.I. Packer, for signing the ECT document, Evangelicals and Catholics Together. Do you know if that rift between Dr. Sproul and J.I. Packer was ever healed in any measure before Dr. Sproul went home to glory?
As far as I know, they were able to mend things quite a bit, but I don't think that the relationship returned to its former position, you know, prior to. And, you know, and the thing is, if you read up on J.I. Packer's story, he's got a couple biographies that are out there. You know, I think he came from a different place than R.C. did, you know, and J.I. Packer was more willing to give in to some of the errors because of the common ground. I mean, he came out of the Church of England, and they were trying to find common ground so much so that they would bend and flex quite a bit on certain things. And I think that, you know, to J.I. Packer's credit, he was trying to be charitable, and he said many times that he didn't consider himself Roman Catholic. He didn't agree with the doctrine, but for him it was more than, you know, can we find enough common ground? And R.C. was fine with establishing common ground as well when it came to social issues, but he was just very clear that when it came to the matters of the gospel, we are speaking very different languages here, and that was his biggest issue. One of his biggest issues was, you know, you can say that we're justified by faith, but you have to use the word alone. We're justified by faith alone in Christ. And that was, it was all the difference in the world. His other issue was over imputation. Is this an infused righteousness that becomes ours and we sort of grow into, or is this an imputed righteousness that's credited to us on our behalf? Those distinctions matter, and that was an issue of gospel or no gospel in the mind of R.C. Sproul, and to his thinking, it was very clear, and you don't hold hands with those as brothers who disagree with the gospel and refute the gospel. So I don't know where the final analysis landed on their personal relationship, but I do know that they were able to work together in a joint statement after ECT came out, affirming the gospel itself, and even publishing a book called Getting the Gospel Right. And J.I. Packer and R.C. Sproul, along with several other leaders, signed that statement together to reaffirm what is the gospel itself. But it definitely was probably the most tumultuous period publicly of R.C.'s ministry, because he had to disagree so strongly with some of his closest friends, Packer being one and Chuck Colson being the other.
What are you aware of that developed over time and perhaps even changed in Dr. Sproul's thinking and perhaps theological beliefs? You just mentioned something that he seemed to be clearly Vantillian in his apologetics at one time, but then later became an advocate of classical apologetics or evidentialism. I know of another one where he at one time was an old earth creationist and became very strongly a young earth creationist. But do you know anything else, or perhaps you want to further expand on the two things I mentioned?
Yeah, I think there were a few things over time. I'm really not privy to all of them. I think for R.C., he was constantly refining. I know that some of his friends would tease him about changing his eschatological position, his end times position. You know, you read The Last Days According to Jesus, and he seems to lay out for something pretty straightforward, but he was always being teased that he was changing that position. You know, even going back to what you said, though, R.C. saw classical apologetics as a third way between evidentialism and presuppositionalism. You know, he rejected some of the tenets of evidentialism. So I think he was mostly just trying to refine his understanding of truth. I don't think he had, you know, large, huge swings in his doctrine. You'd have to push pretty hard and convince him pretty hard to move on something. It'd have to be irrefutable in his mind. But I'm not aware of big, huge things that he changed on, especially in the latter years of his ministry.
Now, you mentioned eschatology. I believe that he was making a case in his last book on that involved eschatology. I think he was making a case for partial preterism, although I don't know if he made a specific alliance with either amill or post-mill, because both may be partial preterists. Do you know where he was on that?
From reading that book and just hearing a couple of other things he was teaching through, you know, you read his positions, even in his commentary on Romans, when he, you know, exegetes Romans 11, you know, it's funny because he sounds almost premillennial in his defense of national Israel, but then you read his last days according to Jesus, and he sounds very amillennial. So that's kind of the, you know, he would kind of follow the truth wherever the truth would go, even if it didn't fit into that position. But the purpose of his writing, The Last Days According to Jesus, was to really refute the full preterist position. And that was really the intention of that, to say that we don't acknowledge full preterism as being legitimate. It's not biblical. But I'll be honest with you. I had a hard time following his end times position, and I know I'm not the only one. But I have full confidence that his end times position is very good right now. So I'll leave it at that.
Have you actually changed your view or opinion or belief on something significant from either reading Dr. Sproul or hearing and seeing him preach and teach?
I haven't changed any positions personally, even though I'm sure that he would have loved to see me change a few things if he had known me. One thing that studying his life and teaching has done for me more recently is it's really made me focus in on creedalism and confessionalism, and really developing a fresh love for the early church creeds. And I would just, you know, over time, just listen to him expound on some of these truths. And, you know, when push came to shove, he would always lean on the early church history to help articulate, because that's what the early church creeds do for us. They help us put into words the truth that might not have been as clear to us in the earlier years. They put a fine point on these truths. And so I really grew to appreciate the early creeds because of that. And just a little sort of a tip going ahead, I mean, I'm actually writing a book on an introduction to creeds that should be coming out in the next year or two. So he had a huge impact on me with that, to really get me to think about the value of church history and historical theology, essentially. So that was very helpful, and I owe him a great debt for that as well.
Now, I'm interested about this new book you're writing. Are you specifically focusing on the ancient creeds or the 17th century confessional statements that came out from the different branches of the Reformed faith?
What I'm looking at right now is part one of the book will be early church creeds and the doctrinal development of those. It's written for lay people, so it should be very simple to follow. And the second half of the book, if it goes the way I'm thinking, will be sort of a general survey, a doctrinal survey of some of the key truths that came out of the Reformation and the creeds associated with, or the confessions associated with them. So still working on that. Want to make sure that it comes together well. And so I don't want to overspeak, but that's something I'm working on currently.
One of the things that Dr. Sproul proved to me was that the idea that in order to effectively communicate the gospel to any different people group, whether it be their ethnicity, their national origin, or their skin color, that it's always best to have a representative of that specific group do the evangelizing and teaching. And Dr. Sproul disprove that because of the fact that there have been so many, especially black Christians, who came to embrace the Reformed faith through him, this old white guy. Did you share my enthusiasm and excitement over witnessing that?
Yeah, I think, you know, for people like RC and for you and I mean, the truth is the truth. I mean, the gospel, you know, knows no skin color. The sin knows no skin color. These are eternal truths for, you know, for souls. And so, you know, it's the same gospel that saves every person who comes to Christ. So I think that, you know, a clear communication of truth done in a winsome way, and I mean that in a genuine winsomeness, not in a nuanced way that's popular today, but, you know, I mean, RC could communicate truth with a smile on his face, and it didn't matter to him what your background or your skin color, your culture, your heritage. He just wanted you to love Christ, and I think that it doesn't need to be more complicated than that. So I think that can, those kind of barriers can break down when we have the truth in common. And I think we don't need to overthink that, I don't think. I think that today's culture, we've gotten so caught up in that, slicing truth and slicing that up into a million different categories and with all these different nuances. I just don't think we need that. Communicate truth clearly, and those who will be saved will be saved. I think it's very simple.
Well, I'd like you to have several moments of time before we run out of time, since you're only on the first hour. In fact, less than that, because we have to depart for our midway break at about 53 minutes into the show. But if you could highlight what you most want our listeners to know about this biography that may further whet their appetites and increase and heighten their interest in getting a hold of this biography.
Yeah, I think there were two main thrusts behind the book itself, two main things I was hoping that people would come away with. And I think the first one is that we need leaders and teachers and those who can model a desire for speaking the truth clearly, doctrinal precision. We're living in times when everything's ambiguous and everything is, like I mentioned earlier, nuanced, and there's, you know, your truth and my truth, and everything's relative, and that's just not the way of the Lord. The Lord is, he's a God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we have to be people about the truth, and so I think that when we're dealing with doctrinal disagreement, the answer is not more ambiguity, the answer is more clarity. And so I think those who would read this, I would hope, will be encouraged to pursue clarity and precision in the way that they speak and write and share the truths of the gospel, the truths of the faith. But I think the second component that really matters to me is something that R.C. modeled with his own life, that he was generous and charitable toward people who disagreed with him. In watching all the video and reading everything, I didn't find ever a place where R.C. disparaged people or slandered people. He would tell you if he disagreed with you, for sure, but he would always do it in a way that was kind. And he would be honest about it. He wouldn't look for cheap shots. He wouldn't build straw men and then attack the worst possible position. Even when it came to his debates over Roman Catholicism, I mean, he would talk about what was good in the Roman Catholic tradition, but then he would say, but here's where we disagree and here's why this is important. He wanted to make sure that people were clear on what the issue actually was and not just take cheap shots. So I think the way that we engage with one another, the way that we communicate truth, the way that we treat each other, especially in the faith, is of the utmost importance to the Lord. And so we would do well to model and pattern our engagement after those who do that well. And I think R.C. did that well. You know, you watch video or tape of him, even on stage with his friends with whom he disagreed, he would make his point, and then he would smile and laugh. I mean, he understood that there was truth, but he also had to be loving to people. So truth and love, that's really the two most important things, I think, coming out of this book for sure.
Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, wants to know, what are your favorite books by R.C. Sproul?
Oh, that's like picking children. Oh, I don't know. No, I mean, I share with probably most of RC's audience, I love The Holiness of God. One book that really actually changed quite a bit for me in terms of understanding The Doctrine of Justification was his book, Faith Alone. Faith Alone is a marvelous, marvelous book. If anybody hasn't read that, please read that ASAP. But Faith Alone is a great book. And there's also another book he wrote called Are We Together? And it's his apologetic against Roman Catholicism. That's also very helpful. But so many books he's written that are just really remarkable, must-have books. Those are some of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, I've got a couple of my own that I have given out in large numbers over the years. One has actually changed its title. It used to be called Grace Unknown, and now it is called What is Reformed Theology?
That's right.
And I gave that book to my very dear friend Dan Buttafuoco, who in his entire life growing up and into adulthood has been in Pentecostal Arminian churches, and one Christmas Eve, I gave him Grace Unknown. This was back in the 90s, and he said to me, "Are you kidding me? You're giving me propaganda for a Christmas present? Are you out of your mind?" And he called, Dan called me up on January 1st, on New Year's Day, called me up about 11 in the morning or so, and said, "Chris, I haven't been to sleep. I read the book cover to cover. I agree with Dr. Sproul. I'm reformed now."
Oh, wow.
And he is still, to this day, Dan is still holding, standing firm on the doctrines of sovereign grace. And also a book that I give out frequently, especially when people are going through serious trials in their lives. I give, along with Jerry Bridges, the late Jerry Bridges classic book, Trusting God Even When Life Hurts, I give Dr. Sproul's book, Surprised by Suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, and actually I don't know if it's still available, but he also used to have, when they used to have videos, I'm assuming it must be available on a DVD now, but he had a video of that book, of the contents of that book, provided in a lecture form. And that, watching that was of enormous benefit to me while going through the grieving process after losing my mother in 1995 from pancreatic cancer. So I highly recommend both of those books. And as I said, Grace Unknown is now known as What is Reformed Theology, and the other one was Surprised by Suffering. Well, I want you now, in the 4 minutes that we have left, to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Absolutely. So there's nothing more important for any person listening than to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to understand their need for Christ. And I hope and pray if there are any unbelievers, those who do not profess to know and love Jesus Christ, if there's anyone who realizes and sees their need for a Savior, that they would turn away from their sins immediately, to forsake their sins, to hate their own sins, and to put their faith squarely in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, that Christ gave his life on the cross to pay the penalty for sins, and actually credited us with his own righteousness and took our filthy rags of sin upon himself, and in resurrection gave new life to all those who would repent and believe. So if people don't know that, they need to know that. There's no more important message than that. And even for those who do profess faith in Christ and who love Christ, that message, I need that message daily. I need to remember my salvation, not to forget these things, just because they're basic to the Christian life. They're not simplistic. You don't outgrow the gospel. So that would be my greatest desire. That was certainly Dr. Sproul's greatest desire, and Chris, I suspect your greatest desire as well, for people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen. And before you go, if you could let us know about any upcoming speaking engagements, or I know that you've already hinted at one writing project. Tell us about what may be going on in your not only at Harvest Bible Church in Gimlinton Iron Works, New Hampshire, but also your traveling ministry as an evangelist.
Yeah, so I haven't been doing as much traveling lately. There's been quite a bit going on at our home church with the building project, and we hired a new pastor back in January. So a lot happening at the home front with our church as well. So the Lord has blessed our church. I am speaking actually with Dustin Benj in October in Pennsylvania at a church that'll announcement will be coming pretty soon. Like I said earlier, working on a book on the creeds for Christian Focus. Also republishing Why We're Protestant in an expanded edition with Christian Focus, and just signed another book with Moody Publishers on the kindness of God. So I got quite a lot to work through on my plate, but just really pleased that the Lord has saw fit to put me into ministry in a region that needs Him the most. So just thankful to have the blessing of being in ministry. So that's what's going on.
Well, you know I live in Pennsylvania now, so where in Pennsylvania are you and Dustin Benj going to be speaking? Because I've got to see if I can attend that.
You know, I think it's going to be close to Harrisburg, but I'd have to go back and check.
Yeah, that's only a half hour away from me.
Yeah, well, we'll have to sync up, and if the announcement comes, you can put it out to your listeners. It'd be great to see people there.
Just out of curiosity, it wouldn't happen to be Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, would it?
Josh Miller is the pastor.
That's Grace Bible Fellowship Church.
Yeah, we'll be there in October.
Oh, wow, that is phenomenal. And as long as I'm alive and my heart's beating and I'm still in this area, I am going to make a point to attend that. And I hope that, in fact, I'm going to look up, while I'm saying goodbye to you, I'm going to look up his contact information for Grace Bible Fellowship Church, because I want my fellow listeners in this area to also attend this event if they can. Okay, the phone number is 717-652-5229, 717-652-5229, and the website is gracebfc.com, gracebfc for Bible Fellowship Church.com. And also, don't let me forget to repeat your website for the Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire. That website is, and it's hbc-nh.org, hbc-nh.org. And if anybody wants to purchase the book that we have been addressing, the biography of R.C. Sproul, R.C. Sproul, Defender of the Faith, you can go to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who sponsors this program, cvbbs.com. And I have a surprise for everybody who sent in a question. You are all going to receive a free copy of the book, R.C. Sproul, Defender of the Reformed Faith, by compliments of our guest today, Nate Pickowitz, the author. And Nate has assured us he'll be shipping those out very shortly. Well, thank you so much, Nate, and I look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thank you very much, Chris.
And don't go away, folks, because we're going to be joined momentarily by Mac Tomlinson. And he'll be joining us after the midway break, discussing mature manhood being useful for the master. Send in your questions to Mac Tomlinson, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. The church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thank you. If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether it's for birthdays, whether it's for Father's Day, whether it's for wedding anniversaries, whether it's for graduation gifts, back-to-school gifts, retirement gifts, whatever the occasion is, if you're offering condolences to someone that you know who has lost a loved one, well, go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase gifts that truly have eternal significance. And when you're doing so, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to the program and for our second guest, Mac Tomlinson, I have just a couple more important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear, folks, We are in urgent need of your financial help. Please, I'm urging you, if you really do love the show, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion, and if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please remember that I never want anybody in the audience to give their own church, where you are a member, a Christ-honoring and biblical church, I don't want you to give them less money in order to give us a gift. Don't cut into the giving that you're accustomed to your own local church, in order to give to us. Do not do that, please. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please don't plunge your family into further financial jeopardy at this point. Please wait until you're more stable financially and back on your feet and more able to provide us with a financial gift without doing your family harm. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands and to provide for your church and family, then please, if you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, if you have extra money for recreational and trivial purposes, extra money to pursue your hobbies and things like that, well, please share some of that money with us. If you love this show and you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you would like to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is that you want to advertise is compatible with what we believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as soon as possible, because we really do need your advertising dollars as well, whether it's your church, whether it's your business, whether it is a corporation or a private professional practice or a special event, as long as it's compatible with what I believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you just have to be promoting something that's compatible at the very least with what I believe. Then I would love to help you launch an ad campaign. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, I have extensive lists of faithful churches all over the world, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live. I've helped many people spanning the globe in this audience find churches, sometimes within just a few minutes of their homes. And I may be able to help you find a church too, or a church for someone that you love who is in that circumstance of not having a biblically faithful church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Mac Tomlinson, my second guest today. Mac is a dear friend for many years and has been a faithful supporter of Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. He's pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, author of a number of books, and today we are addressing mature manhood, being useful for the master, an exposition of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, Mac Tomlinson.
Hello, Chris. It's always a blessing to be with you, and thank you for the invitation today.
Well, tell our listeners about Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas.
Well, we are a Reformed Baptistic Church here in Denton, a half hour north of Dallas-Fort Worth in North Texas. And we are a loving congregation that loves the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, with a plurality of elders who do it faithfully, a congregation that loves one another and that seeks through word and example locally and worldwide to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we welcome anyone who's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to reach out to us and visit us for worship anytime.
And if anybody wants more information about Providence Chapel of Denton, Texas, go to providencedenton.org, providencedenton.org, and hopefully I will remember to repeat that before we go off the air. Well, why is it that you were so eager to specifically address the issue of mature manhood being useful for the master today?
Well, our church, our men have a thorough men's study twice a month. And we've just started for the rest of the year, actually, since May, trying to dive deep into the subject of manhood, what it means to be a man biblically. And so it's really on the minds of our men in our church and our leaders. And I preached recently from this passage in 2 Timothy 2, which doesn't directly address men, but it addresses what every Christian must become in maturity, in godliness. And it certainly starts with Christian men as fathers, as husbands, as leaders in the church. So, you know, that's been the most recent thing that's been on my heart, and so I felt like it would be beneficial to the listeners to just emphasize this today from 2 Timothy 2.
Well, let me read that passage. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And may God bless the reading of his word today. So if you want to begin to exegete this and show us why this is such an important text bearing upon maturity in Christian manhood.
Yes, we know any believer in America that is paying attention at all knows that there's a real crisis in America and in the evangelical church, Lord, a crisis about the family, not only in unbelieving families, but in professing Christian families. There is much fracture, there's much dysfunction about the family, and in male leadership about manhood. In the evangelical church, it's obvious. I do think there's been progress of late emphasizing this in men's conferences and wonderful books on the family and on biblical manhood. One book in that regard I would recommend is a book titled Manly Dominion by Mark Chansky. And if our listeners, whether you're a single man, a teenager, or especially if you're in a relationship with a young woman who you may end up proposing to, or if you're engaged to be married, I urge you to read that book, Manly Dominion, by Mark Chansky. And I think it speaks to the issue of manhood in a wonderful way. This is an urgent need in our day for Christian men, and it basically means to become what God is calling men to be biblically. And really the best and only way for that to happen is to take Scripture very seriously about what we're to be as men. And the New Testament has great emphasis on this, about manhood. And at the root of that is maturing into Christ-likeness and godliness as a man. The Apostle Paul, in various places in the New Testament, calls all believers to maturity, but he addresses the responsibility of men, especially in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Chris, which you just read, this passage has great application for men and manhood. Now, it has application for Christian women. The passage is not just to men, but it's especially applicable to men to become the person God wants to shape us into. So if we were to go back to the beginning of the chapter, which we will not do, if you look at the context, the whole chapter really is about what I would summarize as the difficulties in the Christian life, the dangers in the Christian life, and the disciplines of living the Christian life. So I'll summarize some of those leading up to us just looking at the text. And Chris, you can interrupt me anytime you need to. But if you go back and look at the first six verses, Paul mentions difficulties, that is, things that face us as men. In verse 1, he calls us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In verses 3 and 4, he speaks of enduring hardship as a good soldier of Christ. In verse 5, he speaks about the champion athlete training lawfully. And in verse 6, he speaks about the hard work of a diligent farmer. So those things show us the difficulties of growing and what we have to become. You get on down to the middle of the chapter, particularly verses 16 through about verse 23. He gives two warnings about dangers that are there. And if you read that area closely, the dangers are two things: false teachers who propagate false teaching, and actually false brethren, false Christians. So in there, Paul says to Timothy, avoid empty talk and false teaching, because it will impact wrongfully in a negative way any believer or any Christian man who is subject to false teaching. So in essence, Paul wants Timothy to avoid all shallow, questionable, weak, imbalanced, and false teaching because it is dangerous. You know, I get often asked from young Christians or believers who are somewhat ignorant of even books, and they'll ask me about, what do you think about this book by this guy? It might be a popular televangelist. And I generally have one reply. You know, books by such men like that, and I'll call the names that they ask me about, their books are good. And the person may get kind of surprised thinking that I would say that. And then I say, I'll tell you what they're good for. To tear the pages out and line the bottom of your birdcage with those books. That's what the books of false teachers are good for. But they are dangerous. And so Paul says this. He warns against false teachers, as he does in 1 Corinthians 15, about those who say the resurrection has already passed. He says, don't be deceived. Evil communication, evil connection with such people damages good behavior. So the second thing he warns here, it is a danger, is false Christians. Now, the verse 20, Paul speaks about the great house. And this has to be viewed in the history of Christianity as meaning all of professing Christendom, all of professing Christianity, Protestantism in a broad way. And in that, now, Paul wasn't meaning that as he wrote it to Timothy, but he's talking about the whole professing faith of Christianity. And in that house, he said there are vessels of gold and silver that are honorable vessels, and there are vessels of wood or clay that are dishonorable vessels. And Paul says there, Timothy, if you purge yourself or cleanse yourself from these, meaning false teachers, false teaching, and false brethren, then you will be able to be what he says in verses 21 and 22. And that's what I want to get to. He said, if anyone purges himself from these, he will be a vessel for honor. That's the first thing he mentions. He's going to mention several things in verse 21 that we must become. So that's really the heart of it. If we want to be a vessel of honor for Christ, useful for the master as men, Paul's implication is here, we cannot hang out or be connected to wrongly with vessels of dishonor. So the application here is, a Christian man, if he is going to become a vessel of honor for Christ, to become a biblical man, he can't worship in a worldly church without becoming worldly. He can't be joined to a compromised church without compromising ultimately, because there is no real true fellowship possible with false Christians. And Paul warned about this throughout the New Testament. If a believer wants to become a man of honor and become a biblical man scripturally, he cannot be connected to such closely because he will be affected. And so, Paul says, you must cleanse yourself from these things, and then you'll be a vessel of honor. So that's calling us to be a man who's biblically godly. And we must remind ourselves, in that text, Paul uses the word useful for the master. Now let's think about it for a moment. Just because a man is a Christian doesn't mean he's fully useful yet. Paul uses the word useful for the master. We have to acknowledge that at times in our own Christian life, we weren't really useful yet because of besetting sin, immaturity. Just because we're a believer doesn't mean we're fully useful yet. And I would go further than that. Just because a believer holds to Reformed doctrine or he's in a Reformed church doesn't necessarily mean he's truly useful yet. I mean, if we're honest, we know many Calvinists that might be proud, argumentative, and really and do no good to anybody because they're argumentative, they're divisive, they're proud and arrogant. That is not being useful for the master. Also, just because we might be in a biblical church doesn't necessarily mean we're useful vessel for Christ yet. So what makes us become a man who is being biblical in our life? Really, verses 21 and 22 in a real way summarize it. What is found in these verses is what makes a man become more of a man biblically, that he might become a vessel of honor and really useful for the master. So to borrow Peter's words from 2 Peter 1, Peter said, if these things are in you and abound, you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to bring out briefly this afternoon in the time we have left, the two truths that are found in verse 21 and verse 22. And the first is found in verse 21.
In fact, I would like you, so I don't have to interrupt you again in a more at a more crucial time, I'd like to for you to address those two points when we return from our final break. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, I would urge you to do it now because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mac Tomlinson and Christian Manhood right after these messages.
Attention all men in ministry leadership.
You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundsen, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org.
Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Aronson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Aronson while you're there.
Welcome back. And Mac Tomlinson, if you could now enter into those two main points that you want us to most focus upon in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22.
Yeah, Chris, can you still hear me?
I hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? There we are. Yeah, before I do that, I just want to make sure just to emphasize again, you know, the greatest need in the church in many ways is for Christian men to truly live godly lives and not just know truth. And that means they really love their wives in a sacrificial way. They are examples to their children of godliness and humility. And they serve their church from a pure heart. And only as men become that are they reaching the realm of being a biblical manhood in terms of what Christ calls his men to be? So to get there, we have to have worked within us, in our lives, our hearts, our minds, and our souls, the truths that Paul states as found here in 2 Timothy 2, and certainly not the only one, but what we see here in verse 21, Paul outlines basically four things that we are to become, and it's a process. We know sanctification is a process, but the four things he says in verse 21 are these, that we are to be a vessel for honorable use, that's number one, that we're to be sanctified or set apart as holy, that's number two, that we're to be useful to the master, that's number three, and that we're to be ready for every good work. So let's just briefly go through those. Verse 21, what we're to be. The first thing he says is that we're to be, I'm looking back at the verse now, that we're to become a vessel of honor. And that simply means that we are to be men who have as our life's goal to bring honor to Jesus Christ. Is that our priority? Is that our ultimate life priority and goal, is to be a vessel that really does bring honor to Christ, that our entire life and all of our ways reflect the goodness and greatness and the love and grace of Jesus Christ? We must become a vessel that brings honor to him. So men, if they want to become a man biblically, progressively, they must answer the question, do I want my life to fully honor Jesus Christ? Not only in what I believe and profess to believe, but in my works, in my, the way I am as a husband, as a father, as a churchman. Is my goal in life not to become wealthy or famous or have a great position, but do I really want to be a vessel that brings honor to Christ? That's what biblical manhood is. The second thing he mentions is that phrase, being set apart as holy, or the simple word, sanctified. Now, most Christians know what that concept means. It means to be set apart. And biblical Christians who know basic Christian doctrine know that when we are joined to Jesus Christ through faith, our lives are set apart. They are set apart as for Christ's ownership and lordship. But here Paul isn't talking to Timothy about initial conversion. He's talking about a process that if we're going to be a vessel of honor, we have to be sanctified. We must be daily set apart. And so men need to think about what a sanctified life looks like. What does that mean practically? It means that our will is yielded to the will of God sincerely. That we want to do his will and not our own. That we want Christ to increase and for us to decrease. A sanctified life is a life that has a consecrated heart to Christ, devotionally in love with Jesus Christ. That we're dedicated, that we're all out committed. And that means that we have a sanctified life as a husband, as an employee or an employer, that we lead our family in a sanctified way, that our home and our time are set apart for God's glory and purpose. So many times I've examined my life over the years as a Christian and as a pastor, and I've had to ask myself, right now, is my life really set apart? Is it sanctified daily? Is my time truly the Lord's? Is my money, my home, my choices, my future? The Christian man must really view it that everything he is and has is to to be set apart for Jesus Christ. You know, I love the old hymns of consecration. We don't sing them enough, I don't think, and we need to sing them and live them more. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. The old wonderful Francis Havergal hymn, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And so, this is really the meaning of Romans 12, 1 and 2. To be a biblical man is that we are presenting our lives as a living sacrifice, daily surrendered, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. So the third thing he mentions in that verse is we're to be useful for the Master. So think about it. We should ask ourselves as men, is my life really useful for the Master? Am I a vessel that God can use? Or are there things in my life that are displeasing to Him? Habits, besetting sins I've not gotten victory over, that I'm not mortifying sin, and therefore I'm really not a useful vessel yet. I spoke to some brothers the other day along this line, and I said, you know, every Christian man would do well to make his life motto useful for the Master. Can I say that? Could that be etched on my tombstone when I'm gone, that my life was truly useful for the Master? That should be our goal and our passion if we're going to be a biblical man of God, regardless of what we do in life. Well, the fourth thing in there is the last phrase, that we're to be ready for every good work. Some translations use the word prepared, and some use the word ready. But good works is the topic. That to be a man biblically, we have to be a man that excels in serving Christ and our family in good works. And, you know, good works often aren't emphasized enough. But I just want to quickly mention that a basic truth, and we know as biblical Christians, that good works are not optional if we're going to be a biblical man. In fact, they're not optional even in salvation. They are the fruit of true salvation. Paul said to Titus some of the most amazing statements about good works. I'll just share a couple of them. He said to Titus, in all things, showing yourself an example of good works. So every man that wants to be a biblical man should ask himself, am I truly an example of good works? He also said there to Titus, this is a faithful saying, and I want you to constantly affirm it, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And he also goes on and he says that Christians are to be zealous for good works, and they were to be careful to do them. So biblical manhood calls us to be these things that he says there in verse 21, that we're to be a vessel for honor, the honor of Christ, that we're to be set apart as holy, that we're to be useful for the Master, and that we're to be ready for every good work. Well, hurrying on, in verse 22, Chris, if you want me to proceed, I'll just proceed there.
Yes, I do have a question from a listener, but it may take too long, since we only have 6 minutes left. It may take too long for you to answer, so perhaps you should just proceed.
Yeah, well, quickly, as I've said, verse 21, Paul tells us what we're to be as men and as Christians if we're to fulfill the role of a biblical manhood. But verse 22, he speaks of two things that we are to do. 21 is about what we're to be. 22 is about what we're to do. And it's very simply outlined there if you read the verse. He says we're to flee some things and we're to follow after some things. So every man who wants to be a biblical Christian has to have these practices in his life. First of all, what's he tell us to flee? He tells us to flee youthful lust. Now, that is applicable to every man, whether he's 20 or whether he's 50 or whether he's 75. It means fleeing, avoiding vain desires, worldly passion, worldly pursuits, pleasures, going after popularity, reputation, fame, fortune, or just the vanity of this world. The Apostle John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For those who love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. So here Paul categorically calls Timothy to be a man by fleeing from those things in order that he might be a vessel of honor and useful for the Master. That's why the New Testament calls every believer to come apart from the world and be separate. So that's pretty straightforward language of Paul calling Titus and Timothy to do that, to flee youthful lust. But the second thing he says is we must follow some things. And again, Paul outlines it very, very simple there in verse 22. He says that we are to follow after or pursue four things: righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Righteousness here, this gets to the heart that sanctification is greatly upon the Christian. Our growth is our job, our business. And our, you know, J.C. Ryle in the 19th century, he put a dagger in the view of passive sanctification in his book, Holiness. And Ryle calls us to active obedience there. So here Paul says, follow after righteousness. He means righteous living, godly living. We're to pursue it. He says there also that we are to follow after and pursue faith. In other words, living the life of faith. No man can be a man biblically if he's not following after these things, really being diligent about them. The third thing is love. Love for Christ, love for a man's wife and children, love for his neighbor, and love for other believers. We are to pursue after these things, to be a biblical man. And the last thing is to pursue after peace. In another place, Paul said, as much as it depends on us, be at peace with all men. So we can't be a man that's mature and biblical and please Christ if we aren't pursuing those things with others. But he also says in there one phrase right after that, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. No man biblically can become what God wants him to be apart from a right relationship with the local church. That's why Paul says there to Timothy to pursue these things along with those who call on the Lord. Now, while Paul, wrapping this up real quickly, Paul says the same kind of things in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll just quickly hit on them. He says, giving all diligence in 2 Peter 1, 5-8, add to your faith, add moral excellence. To moral excellence, add knowledge. To knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And Peter says, for if these things are yours and are increasing, you will not be useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Chris, every man who wants to be a biblical man has to realize this is up to us in terms of seriousness, in terms of self-denial, in terms of diligence. We have to become what Paul says here if we're going to be a vessel of honor. So there's never been a more urgent day for Christian men to rise up and be men of God, to as the hymn says, have done with lesser things. Our families need it. Our church needs it. The dying world needs us to be men who are biblical. Our neighbors need to see an example that's different, that we might be a bright and shining light, that we might be salt and light in the earth, in our neighborhoods, for Jesus Christ. God's calling men to rise up and be biblical Christians as far as manhood.
And we are out of time, and I want to just recommend a book to the anonymous listener who could not have his or her question asked because of time limitations. I strongly recommend the book, What He Must Be If He Wants to Marry My Daughter, by Vody Balcom, very much reflecting what Pastor Mac Tomlinson was discussing today. And that's published by Crossway. You can get that at cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And if you want to find out more about Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, go to providencedenton.org. providencedenton.org. Thank you so much, Pastor Mac, for being such a great guest. Thank you, everybody who listened. Make sure you tune in tomorrow because we not only have Gabriel Wrench joining our program, but Dr. James R. White, a mutual friend of Mac Tomlinson and mine, is returning to the program. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.